What's up, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me on another episode of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I hope everybody's having a great day. It's starting to feel like fall in California now. Southern California right now. It's gloomy, but it feels really, really good. Like the way it's like sweater weather, you know what I mean? So I'm enjoying that. I hope everybody's doing okay. I believe the last time I spoke with everybody, Hurricane Irma didn't even hit yet. But I did see the damage now, and I think there's another hurricane coming, Hurricane Jose. So I hope everybody's doing okay. In this episode, we talk with Corey Corfiatis. I believe that's how you say his last name. And he is the owner of Legwork. So I have the privilege of interviewing him. We talk about what Legwork is, how it came about, and how it helps your dental practice and your practice management system, how it correlates. Pretty much we talk a lot about how it can increase also dental practices' profits. Legwork does a lot. It does legwork for you. It does a lot of recalls. It helps you with, mainly organizing everything and having your practice management system correlated with it. It helps with so much more than just, like, you know, enhancing reviews or enhancing recalls or maybe texting the patient or giving you reminders. It does so much. So, but we talk also a little bit more besides legwork. We talk about, you know, obviously, how can we help increase dental practice's profit? What he has seen increase dental practice profit, what he recommends no one should do. We talk a lot about marketing as well. How the super, super important thing, and this is something I think everybody should kind of keep in mind, of that measuring is insanely important, guys. I mean, when you measure something, I mean, anything. You measure an advertising strategy. You measure a marketing strategy. You measure how much water you're drinking. You measure how many calories you're getting in, how many carbs and protein and fats you're getting in. When you measure stuff like that, you're going to start seeing progress. No matter what. Even if it's going to open your eyes. You're going to say, you know what? I thought I was drinking a gallon of water, but I guess I'm only drinking 1 liter or 1 quart or one, you know what I mean? Like something small, or 8 cups. Measuring stuff really opens your eyes, and also measuring really kind of helps you go to the goal more and more and more. So when you're measuring these marketing strategies, or when you're doing marketing strategies, you need to measure. And don't forget that, guys. We talk a lot about that in this episode. But before we get into the episode, I want to mention that, hey, I have free stuff for you guys now. If you go on my website, thedentalmarketer.site, and you just look up the tabs, there's going to be a tab that says free stuff. Just click it, and I have free stuff. I have literally written strategies to help you attract new patients or gain more brand authority in your community. It's honestly, it's free, guys, literally. Like, for example, I have one on there that's the daycare strategy, right, on how you can attract more children to your daycare as new patients, and how you can attract their families as well, and things like that. But first and foremost, it teaches you the strategy how you can actually get into these daycares and talk to the people and what to say. So guys, go download this. I mean, that's just one strategy. I'm gonna put more and more free stuff up there because I really like sharing this with you, these strategies, and they're interactive. So fill it out, you know, email me if you have any questions or concerns. Do the strategies. If you do the strategies, it will work, okay? Alrighty, guys. So with that being said, let's see what Corey has got going on today, what he's been up to recently, and how just legwork came about.
I started out in sales and marketing back in the early days. I started going to college to become an art major, and realized really quickly I didn't want to live in a van down by the river. So I started out in a sales position, and found that I really enjoyed dealing, you know, as the face of the company. Mm-hmm. So I then later went into various printing industries. I worked for a newspaper for a while. Anyway, long story short, I ended up working for an internet .com company that was a startup back in the .com boom. And at that time, convinced them that I could do all of their online advertising programs across the nation, which I really didn't know what I was doing, but I learned quickly what I needed to do, and I was successful in that area. And then, of course, like a lot of the dot-coms, it went bust. And that kind of caused me to look into looking towards building my own agency. So I built a marketing agency that was quite successful for a while, and started the idea of developing automation, because my agency had been working with dentists primarily. It ended up that we worked for dentists more than anyone else and more than any other markets. And I could go into a long diatribe about how that happened, but I'll save your listeners the energy and just say that we ended up working with a lot of dentists. And so I came up with these ideas of how to automate patient communications and marketing. And I met my now business partner, Jeff Weber, who is co-CEO with me. And together we built Legwork patient communication software. So that's where I'm at today.
Awesome. And how old is Legwork?
Well, Legwork started in 2007, but quite frankly, we were doing business as sort of a hybrid between the software we were creating and the agency that I once had before I met Jeff. And so it was kind of, my clients were bootstrapping, if you will, the development of Legwork software as we became what we are today. So we weren't really a full-fledged software in 2007. We really started hitting our stride about 2015. And so basically we consider ourselves a startup for all intents and purposes.
Gotcha. What happened to your marketing agency?
Well, it just kind of got absorbed into the Legwork fold. I now offer consulting on the side, but not much. I mean, Legwork consumes my time, and rightly so. It's growing rapidly. And so as the sort of bullhorn of the company, if you will, I do all the front-end sales and marketing side of the business. Jeff handles the operational side primarily. So I'm consumed with, you know, promoting the company.
Gotcha. And so you said you started off as a sales position. What were you selling?
Well, it's funny. My history was, well, I mean, when I first started selling, I was selling sports equipment. I worked for a local sports store, and I loved that job. I learned so much about just, you know, how to sell skis and bikes and all the fun stuff, you know. That of course, part of the problem was my paycheck went into more of my paycheck went in back into the store than home. But I really enjoyed learning about the products. They were very technical, you know. Skiing is, I used to coach ski racing for many years, so skiing was in my blood, and I loved the ski industry. And then I enjoyed biking as well. So I started out selling that, and then moved into a printing company from there. So I learned the printing industry. And of course, back in the early 90s and early 2000s, printing was still a major part of business. Nowadays, you know, other than a business card, printing isn't used as much. But I learned a lot about graphics and printing from that company. So I attribute a lot of what I do today from, frankly, both of those jobs.
Yeah. What do you think you learned at the internet company, the dot-com company? Like, what did you have to do and had to learn quickly for them to, like, believe that you knew what you were doing?
Well, I believe that God has blessed me with the gift of relationship building and communications, you know, just the ability to talk and engage people in conversation. And so when I first went in there, I really honestly was selling myself more than I was selling my talent for internet marketing, because I had, frankly, no clue. But I've always kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit, and so I told them I could do the job, and the last thing I was going to do was fail. So I think what I learned from that job was number one, that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be the most skilled at any particular function, but you certainly can go a long way with hard work and the ability to, you know, believe in yourself and sell yourself on what you can do. Now, of course, I will back that up by saying that I did the job really well. Had I failed at the job, then that would have never worked. But I believed in myself. I knew I could learn the work. And frankly, I came from, you know, I'm quite a bit older than you are, I'm pretty sure of it. So I was at the tail end of sort of the last generation that didn't grow up with computers. And so computers and technology was not something that necessarily came naturally to me, whereas the clients or the staff people that I have on board now, you know, they just organically knew technology because they grew up with it. So it was something where it was quite a jump for me to go from a traditional marketing background and selling newspaper and selling printing, because I worked for, you know, media, traditional media, and then going into online media. I really had to learn quickly. But now that's all we focus on. So it was the sort of leapfrog into where I am today.
Gotcha. And so for the audience who doesn't know, what is legwork?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, obviously, legwork is a lot of things, but in a nutshell, legwork is a what we call a patient relationship management software. The software gives us the ability to communicate to patients in various ways, and then it also gives the companies or the practices we work with the ability for them to communicate to patients in various ways, ultimately with the goal of improving those relationships through better communications management. Now, the way it works is it combines a syncing functionality or a bridge with their practice management software, and that practice management software bridge allows us to then sync the data into legwork. So when a patient makes an appointment in their practice management software, or when an appointment is made in their practice management software, that information jumps over to legwork in real time and then gives us the ability to perform various marketing functions. Something that's a little bit unique to legwork specifically, though, is that we also build and manage websites, which our software then also makes the connection to the web. So whereas some of the traditional patient communication softwares that we are, you know, our friendly competitors out there are doing similar things like appointment reminders and recall through this process, we add another layer, another component, which is web marketing, because we sync both internally to the PMS softwares and then externally to the online web environment. So we have kind of a 1-2 punch, as we call it.
Okay. And so how did you come up with legwork?
Well, initially, believe it or not, legwork was at least in theory being created in our minds, in my mind, and then eventually with Jeff, before even some of these guys that are now, unfortunately, they're bigger than we are in terms of volume. But it took us a little longer to get where we are because we came from a marketing background. We focused first and foremost on marketing solutions and then backed into appointment reminders. So we were, for quite a long time, we were kind of a diamond in the rough, if you will. Nobody really knew about us because we only focused on high-end clientele that paid us for a lot of services because our software wasn't fully automated for what is now, you know, appointment reminders and some of the more commodity functions that our competitors have been doing for quite some time. So in the beginning, we were focusing on referral marketing systems, on patient education, on patient communications internally through not just written communications, but also web communications, verbal communications. So we didn't really get into the appointment reminder arena until later. So we weren't really known because we were focused on marketing. Now that has given us an advantage now that we are more becoming widely recognized, because not only are we providing those standard commodity items like appointment reminders, but we're also providing some unique marketing services that, when combined, offer a more complete solution.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Gotcha. Okay, so what's one technique, tactic, strategy, or procedure that you have used or seen increase dental practices' profits?
You know, that's a great question, and I bet everybody has a good answer to that. And so hopefully I don't sound like too much of a salesman here. but I think that ultimately what I would like the customer, whether they're using legwork or not, to understand is that marketing is about a complete set of channels of communications working together. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much disconnect out there with services, and everyone's providing their own little module or their own little concept of what they think marketing is aimed at providing for the customer. And that's okay. You can have multiple vendors working that you're working with to build your marketing plan, but ultimately it stems from all of the individual parts working together in one consistent package. And then that's what Legwork's really trying to do, is provide a more complete, well-rounded service. Even if we don't perform all of the marketing services, that we become the hub for those solutions, because the software gives us the ability to help make sure that those systems are working together consistently. So, for example, I know you do a lot of marketing services mm-hmm. for your customers, and we don't do the services you provide, but Legwork could be an adjunct or a support element to those things that you provide mm-hmm. so that the marketing solutions are well-rounded. And that's what I hope dentists will take away from going into the future, is you can't rely on one channel of communication to be successful. You have to have multiple channels working together to ultimately generate the success you're looking for. And it has to be well-measured, well-strategized, and also sometimes you need to adjust course along the way.
Yeah,
I think a lot of dentists get, with all due respect to them, because they feed our families here, but they get a little bit either A, analysis paralysis, where they can't move forward, and that is a hindrance to marketing, or B, they don't have what I call patience for patients. In other words, they don't give things enough time to evolve. Mm-hmm. Marketing is about brand awareness. It's about top of mind awareness when patients have a need for the service, and that doesn't happen instantly. That takes time. So I think, again, in encapsulating all that, it just, what I'm really wanting my customers to understand is a well-rounded program is what generates success, not one individual vendor or service or channel of marketing. You have to have a complete strategy.
Gotcha. Yeah. Do you think you can give us like a scenario or maybe like a testimonial of how Legwork has increased maybe like a specific dental practice's profit?
Sure. I mean, so I can only speak from the channels and platforms that I have found to be successful. So my mm-hmm. example might be different than, say, your example. But what we find that works well is a combination of internal or direct-to-patient marketing in combination with online marketing, and the third channel is community marketing. And I know that's where you really shine. We don't do a lot of community marketing or on the streets initiatives, but we believe very strongly that that's one of the channels in combination with the two channels that we do that are very valuable to our customers. So when those three channels of communications are working together synonymously, you have a solid outcome. And in a couple examples, we have a client in Lake Oswego, Oregon, that is in just a kind of a suburb of the Portland area, and it's a very kind of a high-end area, but certainly you could argue that Portland might draw some of those clients, those higher-end clients, but mm-hmm. with this particular client, we've had all three of those channels working really, really well. We do a combination of the software, of course, for internal marketing, the web for online marketing, and then we add in the pay-per-click component, ad retargeting, and Facebook advertising in combination with some community initiatives that we suggested to them, and they of course then took upon themselves to get done. That client moved from an average target of new patient flow at, they were averaging about 15 patients. They're now averaging about 40 patients per month. Mm-hmm. But I also want to get across that new patients is not where the whole piece of the pie is here. We also worked heavily on improving their recall percentages. Mm-hmm. So they went from an average patient retention or a patient recall of 60%, meaning that 60% of their patients had an appointment when they left their last appointment, to now they are running at about 92%. So they have a very high recall percentage, mm-hmm. meaning just, you know, 7-8% of their patients are without an appointment when next appointment when they leave. So, and then of course, while we don't work on things like case presentation and whatnot, we measure that. We help measure that so that we are looking to make sure that those numbers are also in check. Again, we're not set up to help clients improve their case presentation and case acceptance, but we have tools in place to help monitor and then help generate communications should that patient not accept treatment, to try to encourage them to come back and schedule.
Yeah, gotcha. And yeah, I completely agree. Sometimes as a dentist, like, we get so caught up as a trying to attract new patients, right? We think that's where, like, it has to happen. Like, we're like, oh, okay, we need new patients, more production, more collection that way. But sometimes if we really take a good look at the schedule, or we take a good look maybe months before or a recall list, we see that there's a lot of, like, undone treatment, right? Like, just left there. Mm-hmm. And we kind of mm-hmm. ask the front office, like, have you done it? And like, oh, no, I've been too busy doing other things, right? Or I've been too busy, I don't know, whatever, right? And then it's kind of just there, and like in limbo, like nobody's doing all the recalls. We're doing maybe like a month's out recalls, but what about like 5 months ago with the patient who came in and maybe they were interested in, like, you know, veneers or something, and we never did anything about it, right? So, yeah. Or maybe they had like a malocclusion or anything like that. So yeah, I think it's super important, like, before we start diving head in first and saying like, hey, I want, you know, 20, 30, 50 new patients a month. Like, let's take a step back, and before we get that busy, let's see what we can do for our, like, current patients, like our the ones who are already come to our practice. When was the last time they came? You know what I mean? Like, can we do something different? Are we marketing to them? And then measure that, like you said, like measuring. Man, if you're not measuring your marketing, like, you're in the dark. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really do much. It's kind of like a, what is that saying? Like, if you're not measuring, you're like winking at a girl in the dark. Like, nobody else knows what you're doing, but you know what you're doing. You know? So it's kind of like,
good analogy.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same thing. Like, you have to measure it. You have to know what you're doing. Because if not, you're just spending your wheels. You're wasting your money. And you're like assuming, like, I think it's working or I think it's not. I don't know. You know, so it could be a big waste of money.
Absolutely. Legwork has some very specific metrics that come right from Dentrix, and then, well, I mean, PMS softwares. I use mm-hmm. Dentrix because it's the big one, but, you know, certainly Eaglesoft, Open Dental, whichever system they're working with. Mm-hmm. And then the web metrics itself. And we combine those metrics to give them a good outlook, a good picture on again, internal, online, and community, so they can measure those results. I think the other thing to note is, and it's such a cliche, but it's so true, it's so much more costly to generate a new patient than it is to either A, retain an existing patient, move them towards more treatment, or gain a referral. Yeah. Even the practices that spend the top dollars on external marketing, they still only get about 10 to 15% of their new patient flow is coming from external sources. You know, the overall numbers are higher, but mm-hmm. ultimately it's just very constant examples over the years I've worked in dentistry where, you know, marketing supports the brand, But ultimately, brand is built through experience, and that's why referrals are such a huge component to your overall marketing plan. And ultimately, a customer or patient lead might see your community effort, or might see your online ad, or might see your website. But ultimately, what most of the time they've started their search because they've asked a friend or family member. Mm-hmm. So, you know, ultimately, I just like clients to always understand that while new patients is one of the pieces of the pie, going back to my analogy of, you know, the whole channels of marketing working together, the most expensive piece of the pie is always going to be new patient flow. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest to get. It's the most costly. So don't ignore the other low-hanging fruit within the practice.
Exactly, yeah. And so what is one strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
Oh boy, it's hard to say never because things change so much. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing that I've come to conclude is that if you look at on a national scale what Fortune 500 companies are doing, they're spending billions and billions of dollars on traditional advertising. And it's not working for them. And there's tons of resources and articles that people on your, you know, podcast can listen to or go look at, I should say. And I just watched one video the other day on this topic. And so if those traditional marketing tactics are not working, then it is just a matter of time that big companies are going to start to realize that social media and online media is also going to start benefiting them. And when that happens, the cost of advertising in these formats is going to skyrocket. Whereas right now, there's no better time to capture an audience for a lower cost than online marketing, being Facebook advertising, pay-per-click advertising, and even just creating brand awareness through organic social posts and having mm-hmm. a website. And, you know, I mean, I know these things sound obvious, but the reality is big companies are still not fully embracing it because this is where small business has an advantage. It's easier for small businesses to build a brand online than it is for a big brand.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what would I not do? I would not put a dime in traditional media, specifically things like a Yellow Page book.
Mm-hmm.
The Yellow Page book is dead, both online and offline.
Yeah.
80% of all traffic is on Google. So that is the one thing I would not do, is traditional media.
Unnecessary. Yeah, you're right. It is. You're right. Like Yellow Pages, for example, that's kind of, I don't really see any Yellow Pages books anymore, like anywhere, to be honest.
Rural markets, they're still around. I mean, I live in central Washington and, you know, I still see the book and it just makes me sad when I see how many people still advertising it and how much money they've spent that is going to, you know, now, again, don't get me wrong. If you're selling carpet cleaning, Yellow Pages might still be okay. But for dentistry, forget it.
Yeah, dentistry is changing too. And does legwork help with reviews?
Yeah, absolutely. We have we actually have two review formats. We have our own internal review format that's a little less costly but has some of the lesser bells and whistles. And then we've also partnered with BirdEye, which most dentists nowadays are aware of BirdEye.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in our opinion, the best, most comprehensive platform for reviews. So we formed a partnership with BirdEye to where we resell their platform in our packages. So, mm-hmm. again, we have a lower cost option for our system, which is still very good at getting Google reviews, but doesn't have some of the protections and monitoring tools that BirdEye offers. So then we have the BirdEye system for those more advanced users.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that's that's something that's really going to help you out too. You know what I mean? As far as like as a well-rounded system, like where you can, you know, help with the communications and the recalls, and then also getting reviews, you know, because people look at your stuff. Like, you say, for example, you're out ground marketing or you're anywhere, right? And then you make an appointment as a new patient. Eventually, that person, by the time they go to their appointment, which is, say, it's like next week, they're going to look at you online. You know, they're going to see what you're all about. They're going to look at your website, maybe your Facebook. And that's where your marketing has to be like on point. You know what I mean? Like, you have to show your team on Facebook. You got to be active on there, be socialized because it's social media. And then your reviews too, they have to be really great. Cause I mean, like, you can sign people up and get leads, but if your reviews are like one stars, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think, I would probably be like, never mind. I wouldn't even call back. I just like not show up to the appointment and that's it.
Yeah. Well, and reviews are in my opinion, they're one of the referral components that we talked about, you know, social proof is essentially, you know, me looking to other peers to see what their opinion is of a product or service. And that social proof happens within social media. It happens on reviews. It happens through asking friends and family. And so, yeah, reviews is a huge component to the type of marketing I believe in, and I know you believe in as well. One other aspect of reviews, though, is that it also has, more so now than ever, a major component to your SEO initiatives, so your search engine optimization initiatives. Recently, Google, well, not so recently, it's been a couple months, even years now, I don't know, time flies, but yeah. Google has stated that the Google Maps, the location, you know, geolocation maps feature, or Google Places, some people call it, where your reviews reside, they use a completely different algorithm for that maps feature than they do the general organic search results. In other words, your reviews are a major part of how you optimize your maps places listing. So, and the other part of it is location-based. So, you know, if you and I are sitting 100 feet away from each other and we type on our phone, you know, dentist Chicago, you would get a completely different search result than I would. But part of the search result is where we are located and also our past search history and how optimized that map listing is. And one of the major optimization points that Google tells us is how robust is your are your reviews and what of what level, in other words, are they 5-star or 1-star?
Yeah, that's true. It's good to know. And so what's the best piece of advice you have ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their practice in a positive way?
I would go back to having a plan and giving the plan time to implement. The same things that we tell our customers to do for their marketing, we also do. We use all online initiatives. We utilize those online initiatives after spending a considerable amount of time formulating a strategy, testing the strategy, measuring the strategy, and adjusting course along the way to get to the success we now have. We now generate a considerable amount of new patient or new client leads from the web and referrals more so than anywhere else. And the reason is because we had a strategy, we formulated that strategy ahead of time, and then we implemented the strategy and we gave it time to work. We did not cut it off halfway through because we expected unrealistic outcomes. We gave it time to fully evolve. So I think, again, goes back to strategy and timing and patience for patients. That is the key to marketing. It is not a crystal ball. None of us have a crystal ball. None of us can tell you, if you do this, this will be the result. And anybody who says that shouldn't be providing services, in my opinion. There is no guarantee to marketing. It is all about testing, revisions, and adjusting course until you get a formula for success. And then you go all in. You know, you put all the money you can invest in it once it's working for you.
Gotcha. And what's a good time frame for a good plan to take place? Like, how long should someone wait?
Well, that is a little bit determined by budget. If you naturally, it's fairly mathematical. If you have $500, it's going to take you twice as long than if you have $5,000 to invest in your marketing budget. And it also depends on your goal. But initially, I always use some general rules of thumb based on history and past successes. It takes about 3-5% of your desired gross revenue. And notice I said desired, not actual. Mm-hmm. And notice I said gross, not collections. Everybody in dentistry wants to work on collections. In marketing, you don't work with collections, you work with gross.
Yeah.
So if you want to be $1 million practice, you need to spend at least 3% or $30,000, you know, on your marketing initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And from there, you need to have an ROI calculation. In other words, if I spend $30,000, how am I going to make money on that $30,000? And now, on the flip side, if you're a brand new practice, because you mentioned some of your listeners are startup practices,
mm-hmm.
they need to spend 7-10%, and that is mind-boggling expensive, because 7-10% of desired gross revenue is a lot of money. So a lot of practices that are startups, they don't have enough money, and I don't know where these banks and consultants come across telling practices they don't need as much money as they actually do. I'm constantly battling that. It mm-hmm. takes a lot of money to start up a business, and a lot of money in marketing.
Yeah.
So that's my caution to any of the startups, is be prepared to spend a considerable amount of money for the first 24 months at least, before you expect a return. Now, if a practice is already established, they should expect a return in 6-9 months. But for a startup practice, it's more like 24 months.
What can you tell the people who have like a fear in investing? Like, some people are like, man, $30,000, that's a lot for, you know.
Don't go into business. don't go into business for yourself. I'm sorry, but dentists need to get really comfortable with the fact that they are business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And business owners means taking risks. And taking risks, yes, they need to be calculated, but they are risks nonetheless.
Yeah.
The dentistry needs to really, really get comfortable with risk in the next 10 years if practices want to remain independent. And they need to get really, really good at branding and patient experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with conviction, because I know that my business relies on the independent dentist being successful. And so I say that not being rude, but being convicted that you need to be ready to take risks. And if you're not, don't go into business.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All righty, Corey. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
Sure. Well, our website is Legwork PRM, Paul Robert Mary. That obviously stands for Patient Relationship Management. So legworkprm.com is where you can find us. And we'd love to talk to anybody that's interested in learning more about what we do.
Amazing stuff that Legwork is doing. All righty, Corey, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll hear from you soon.
All right, thank you for the time.
All righty, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to that episode. Like I said, measuring your marketing is insanely important. I give the analogy. It's like, if you're not measuring it, it's like you're winking at a girl at the dark, right? Or winking at a guy at the dark. No one else knows what you're doing but you. So you don't want to be that person, right? other than that, Legwork, guys, go check it out. I'm going to put a link in the show notes below. Very, very important stuff. I know a lot of people think like, oh, what should I go with? Should I go with Yappy, Solution Reach, Revenue Well, Legwork. Go check out Legwork. Go see what it's all about. I have yet to hear anything bad, and I know the pricing is fantastic on Legwork, so go check it out. Don't forget, guys, about the free stuff I'm giving you. Just go to my website, thedentalmarketer.site, that's .site, and then just go on the tabs and look up and then click on the free stuff, and then you're going to see some free strategies, some free sign-up sheets, some free... you'll see what sign-up sheets are. You're just going to see a bunch of free stuff on the website right now. And I'm going to put more. I know, I believe there's only like 3 or 4 on there right now, but I'm going to put more and more and more so you guys can do these things and just let me know your feedback. I love to hear your feedback. And let me know if you have any questions or concerns as well. Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And with that being said, I'll talk to you soon.